was there for 3 weeks, 21 days, and the first thing I saw was this: God bless our troops. And this is what I saw when I landed on the airport, and I was like, this is sure enough a sign from the Lord telling me that He is going to bless me and the rest of my mission team. We were 16 people in total. There were 15 people from 15 Americans from different parts of the nation, and then this one Indian guy. And so we lived in Manhattan for 3 weeks, and we lived in this place called iHouse, or International House. What's special about this iHouse, International House, is that everyone who lives in this place is from another country, and he or she is a student at one of the campuses in New York City. So I had this opportunity to live with 300 to 400 different students from different nations, and it was so diverse that I met every person from every single South American and Central American nation, every Middle Eastern nation. Whatever I do there, whether I go and grab a lunch or a dinner, or I'd go to the gym and work out, I would always end up meeting an international student and being friends with them, and somehow I'd invite them over lunch or dinner, and then we'd become friends, we'd start talking, and then the conversation would end up in a spiritual conversation where they would share their beliefs. As a result, I ended up talking to so many students from different religious backgrounds, beliefs, agnostic, atheists, and I love talking to atheists, especially because I was an atheist myself. I was an ex-atheist. So that's what's special about this place. We were there for 3 weeks, in the first and the last week. We worked at different campuses of New York City. And in the second week, we worked with the ministry in Jackson Heights. So basically, this whole mission trip was with the ministry is called Campus Crusades. Now, Campus Crusades has a ministry called Bridges International, which is focused towards the international students and building relationships with them, and sharing their beliefs and friendships. The campuses we mainly worked on was Columbia University, NYU Brooklyn, and NYU Manhattan. These three campuses were the focus of the mission trip, and our basic mission was to establish and to multiply the bridges we have in these three campuses. So we already have established some platform. We have one or two people each on these campuses that work as full-time missionaries to talk with students. But our purpose was to minister more students and bring in more student volunteers, and to make more disciples and more disciple makers. And the first day of our trip, we ended up in the Cathedral of Saint John the Divine. This cathedral is more of a tourist place, and we went there. We ended up talking to so many visitors who just came there to visit from like different parts of the nation or of the world. Here we, me and a friend of mine, ended up talking to a student, talking to a guy who has been working there since the last 2 years. He's a Muslim. He's a devout Muslim. He works at this cathedral, and in 2 years, nobody had ever shared Jesus with him. Nobody had prayed for him. And so I'm so much glad that I had these amazing meetings at these places. So this was our first day. For the first day, we explored the city a little bit, and we understood how to get around the subway system, transportation. Because even though there were 15 Americans on the team, but most of them had not been to New York City ever, so they were the same as I was. And so we kind of realize how to get around, how to be where we want to be, and the subway system is really complex. Like it's everywhere. It's crazy. So in the first week, we split up in three different groups. We split up in Columbia NYU team, NYU Brooklyn, and NYU Manhattan. So it was on an average five or six people in each group. I was in the Columbia group. What we did was that we went to Columbia University on the second day, and we looked around the campus, and we found the places of common ground where we can go and meet people, which are more like public places, like the libraries, cafeterias. Columbia is affiliated with some churches and theology seminaries, so we ended up within these places to see if Columbia already has some evangelical base or ministries that already work there to do God's work on this campus. And we found these places of common ground, like cafeteria, library. We visited the whole campus to understand where we can go, where we can find students, where we can make more friends. And the purpose was to make friends with the students and invite them over the activities that we were doing. Like we went to a picnic to build relations with students. So that's what we did. We'd find more and more people. I ended up talking to this group of eight Chinese exchange students on campus of Columbia. They were here for just a summer, but we ended up meeting, and we ended up going to bowling together, we exchanged contacts, and we talked a little bit. Another thing, special thing that happened was that I met this Chinese couple who came to visit New York City only for 5 days, and they were on a honeymoon. Now how beautiful it is that I'm not even from here. I mean, I'm from India. Like, God brings me all the way here and, like, transforms me into something better and takes me to New York City. And, like, they come on a honeymoon to New York City only for 5 days, and I end up meeting and talking to them. I mean, there were no chances until it's God's plan for us to meet and talk. And so, this place. So, typically, our day would look like that we typically work from 7:30 in the morning to 7:30 in the evening, and so we'd wake up at 7:30 and like we'd meet up at this common point, and we'd pray with each other, we'd have a Bible study, and after that we'd have a cultural training at a place called WeWork. It was more like an office, so we'd go to a conference room, and we had some missionaries. Now some of the people on the team were has been like doing this kind of work. Mission work since the last 30, 40 years of their life, and they are like they are so much familiar with the different cultures and different students, internationals. So they would train us every day about how to talk to people, how to share gospel with Chinese students. If they can't understand English, then like they like how to talk to them. They have like some Chinese websites and resources that we can use, and how to minister to those students. And like there are some cultural things that you can't talk about. Like you can't talk about South and North Korea with Koreans. You can't talk about India and Pakistan with Indians. I mean, you can talk with me. I'd be like, okay, both the nations need Jesus. That's all. But we would have training every morning, and then after the training, we would go to lunch together, and then we would separate in inner groups, and we would go on campuses and do the same work over and over. We would meet up students, try and talk to people. But this place I was showing you is a place where we'd find a way to meet people. Like, For example, I would have a map in my hands, and I'd ask someone that, okay, so where's this place located at? And that way, like, we would start talking, and then I'd be like, where are you from, and how do you like it here? And this was our first in the last week, how it looked like on the campuses. We had, other than these encounters, I had some special and crazy encounters. I had a chance to talk to homeless people, New York residents, drug addicts, drug dealers, Buddhist monks, devil worshippers, and Christians. in New York City. So usually from 7:30 to 7:30 in the evening, I would work with the mission team, and after 7:30, I would just put a couple of gospel tracks in my pockets, and I would just go out with my running shoe and just pray God, just pray the Holy Spirit to bring people on my path to talk to. And that's where I had the craziest encounters of my life ever. I didn't know that the things I witnessed, I didn't know I could ever witness these things until they actually happened. And what's the most amazing thing to me is that, what I was exactly 11 months ago and what I am today, I'm the polar opposite of what I used to be. Like I always say that I was a dirty clothes in a trash can, and the Lord came and picked me up and put me in the washing machine and washed me through the living waters and with the detergent of righteousness. And He put me in this position to actually use me for His kingdom. He prepared me. He took me to the spiritual stage in believing in Him, in believing the power, and believing in the activation of the spiritual gifts and using those to glorify His name. But every weekend we end up going to a place, like a public place, where we can meet more and more internationals. So we ended up going to Chinatown, and we split in a group of two people, and we had a couple of challenges given to us, that a couple of ideas about how to engage in the culture and how to talk to people. I ended up talking to and praying for this Chinese man in a furniture store, so this is how it looked like, that in the weekends we would go to the public places where we have residents. In the second week we worked at this place called Jackson Heights. Now Jackson Heights is a place where we have a lot of immigrants from South Asia. So it's like you can find the people from nations like India, Pakistan, Nepal, Bhutan, Tibet, Bangladesh. So that's what was most amazing to me. This is the place we went to. It's a bridge. There's light on the other side. It's a sun. And so this picture reminds me of that how we are on one side and God has this bridge for us through Jesus to take us to the light. The big light that's there on the other side, the light that's always shining in our lives, and the light where we are going someday, that we'll fly away, we'll leave this flesh, and we'll meet up our Creator. Oh, there you go. It works. Yeah. This is the fountain near, right next to NYU, so this is a part of the NYU campus. I ended up going to the campus in two of the days of my entire stay to the NYU campus, and this place we met a couple of musicians, like those bands we have just playing outside. There were like six, seven people playing some instruments, so I ended up talking to them and knowing about where they are from. But this is a place to... This is a place to meet the students and residents. I met this Indian guy who works with Facebook. I talked to him. Then right here, I ended up talking to a guy who was probably on drugs and who was a homeless man. And this guy, so I started talking to him, and I asked him if he needs any prayers, and he told me that nobody has talked to him for a long time. I literally went next to him and talked to him for half an hour straight, and he was in tears, and we prayed, and that moment literally God touched his heart and God touched his life. But at places like this, there are always opportunities out there. God always gifts us with the opportunities, like right here in this church. This is the body of Christ. We are all from different backgrounds and different places. And God's body of Christ, people are being called to evangelists or street preachers or pastors or ministers or just students or musicians. We have people who are engineers here right in this room, or teachers, or musicians, or managers, or students like me. It's like every place we go to is so unique. We all are being called at these different places, and then we all come here as a family and meet up in the same room. And the places where you all can go, I can't go there. The places where I go, it's hard for you to go there because I'm a student and I'm in a classroom with these so many young people. But it's all about just being the gospels. I know that we don't always have an opportunity to pray for people. It's not always about sharing the gospels. It's about being gospels wherever we are, being love, being the light, and to glorify the Father. That's what I truly believe in. So this is the second week of the mission trip where we went to Jackson Heights, and this is all my mission team. And the guy over there in the red, black, maroon shirt, this guy is an Indian Christian. He has a ministry in Jackson Heights since last 7 years, and he just planted a church like 2 months ago in Jackson Heights, and he was training my mission team for the rest of the week. So he took us to the Hindu temple, Buddhist temple, to train us about the culture, to tell us about the culture, that how it looks like for a Hindu to be a Hindu, and how much brokenness these places have. So this is a Buddhist temple we went to, and we'd go to these places, and one time we went to a Hindu temple, and I remember about how I used to feel when I was a kid to go to these places. And to be honest, I knew, even when I was a kid, when I was 10 years old, I knew there was something wrong, there was something broken about these places. And that's the reason that I started not believing in God when I was a kid. I decided not to believe in God, because my picture of perfect God was, if there's a perfect God, then he won't just stay in heaven all the time, but he would come down and do something so amazing for us to show his love over us. That's what Christ did. But I didn't know about Jesus at that time. And so I was like, if there's a God, then he's supposed to be like that. Otherwise, I'm just going to stay an atheist. Until I found him, I was an atheist for 10 years of my life. But I read Psalm 115 at a Hindu temple, and it's about idols and how God doesn't want idols. The reason is that because it's like just imagine that your kids call somebody else dad, call somebody else mom, then it's going to make you feel jealous and bad. It's going to hurt you. That you are going to be like, I have created you. I was holding you for 9 months, and I took so much pain to give you the birth and to give you the life. Why are you calling somebody else mom? It hurts him the same. And so when I read Psalm 115, my life was changed forever. I looked at the Hindu temples through the filter and through the eyes of Gospels. And that's what touched me the most. I truly believe that lives were touched through this mission trip. But for me especially, my life was touched like crazy. My spiritual strength and my faith got solidified. And I found a stronger foundation than ever. This is the place in Jackson Heights. It looks more like an Indian street, Indian city street, urban street of India. It was actually like that. I mean, I was actually able to go and buy all those Indian food that I never had in a long time on the street. Indian snacks, Indian tea, and chai latte, and everything. Here, this place is more like a hangout place. Like, we had those tables and chairs, and people would just come and hang out and talk and just catch up on life. So we'd go here. We also did the door-to-door evangelism, like door-to-door, going to the houses and knocking on the doors and asking if someone needs a prayer. And we'd be like, we are from Jackson Heights Community Church, and we are here to know you, to let you know that we are here to serve the community. My friend has the English class there, to teach English to the people for free. And so we tell them that we are having this English teaching for free, and we are here to pray for you if you need any prayers. And the crazy thing is that when this was going on, there was Ramadan, the fast of Ramadan was going on, and so Muslims would stay up all night long and they would sleep during the day. So we would knock on someone's door and they'd be like, dude, open the door, and I'd be like, oh Lord, this guy's gonna get mad at me. But then he would start talking to me and he would open up, and we would end up sharing the DVDs of the gospel movies to the residents, these places. What's special about this place right here is that we would go here and we would clean the streets, sweep the tables, distribute the chai, the tea, and snacks to the people who come here and hang out with each other. And so the crazy picture is that we'd be 16 people cleaning these streets, these 15 white guys and this one Indian guy cleaning the streets. And I still remember that one of the days when I was dressed up in the same clothing and I was sweeping the streets, and this guy from Bangladesh asked me to go and talk to him. So I went to him and I started talking to him, and he was like, "What's going on? What are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm just helping, serving, brother. How about you? What are you doing?" And so he asked me that, "You're so well dressed and you look like an educated guy, and like, why are you cleaning the streets and sweeping the floors?" And I told him that I'm just here to serve and pray for people. Let me know if you need any prayers. I can pray for you. And he asked me that, "Who are you?" And I told him that I'm a Christian. And he was like, "No, you're not. No, you're not." Like, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. And I serve people and I pray for people. That's why I'm here for. That's why God brought me here, provided the resources from his kingdom." And he looks at me and he was like, "What God do you follow?" I say, "I follow Jesus, man." And he told me that, your God is a great God. I was like, "Yes, he is, sure enough." But encounters like this would happen, and I was like, wow, God is good. God is great. Now, this is the picture of the church that my friend just planted 2 months ago. This church is right underneath a washateria in New York City. So upstairs is a washateria and downstairs is this church. When I went to this church, the craziest thing that I ever saw in all my life was that I saw these four big tables, and there was Bible study going on these tables. And I went and sat at one of the tables and I realized that they were studying Bible in four different languages. So it's like what happens is that somebody would say a scripture in English, and the Hindi people would start talking in Hindi about it. Somebody would translate. Nepali people would start talking in Nepali and Bangla and Spanish. And so I was like, wow, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. And there were five Bangladeshi guys, and there were two Indians, me and the other guy. There was two Nepali and one American on the table. And I was like, wow, this is good, this is crazy. And later on I saw that most of these people were Hindus and Muslims. Like me and the other guy, we were the only Christian on the whole table, and we were reading the Bible. Isn't it crazy? And then they played the worship, and they played one song in Spanish, one song in Bangla, and one song in Hindi. They didn't play a worship song in English. In New York City. And I was like, wow, God is touching this place, and this is what God's work looks like. And on the same table, we have people. I think I was the youngest guy on the table. From the age group 22 to 98. And I want to talk about a couple of my personal encounters that I had. The first thing what happened was that one day I was walking on the sidewalk of New York, of Jackson Heights, and I was prayer walking by myself. And this guy hands me over like a business card on the sidewalk, and I looked at the business card, and it read that black magic, voodoo, and casting out of devil in the power of Holy Spirit. I was like, black magic, voodoo, and Holy Spirit, this doesn't go together. And then I read the name of the guy on the top, and it was more like an Indian name. And I was like, this guy doesn't seem to be like a Christian, and he's a false prophet. He's one of those false guys who... And so I start talking to this guy who handed me over the business card. And I asked him that, so who do you believe in? What God do you believe in? Who do you think is a God? And he was like, oh, I believe in all the gods, every god. It's just a bunch of names. And in the back of my head, I was like, sure enough, you think so, because you got 30 million gods in Hinduism. And so he was like, yeah, it's just a bunch of names, you know. Every Sunday, I go to a Hindu temple for 5 minutes. I go to mosque for 5 minutes. I go to a church for 5 minutes. And I was like, he doesn't work that way, brother. And I was like, okay, so you think it's a bunch of different names, right? So who do you think is what do you think is a true name of God? In whose name should you pray that your prayers will be truly answered if God is willing in his timing? And he was like, oh, it's all the name. You know, like God listens to you, whatever you say. And I was like, no, you need to show true devotion through one name. And he asked me that, what is that name? And I told him that it's Jesus Christ. And he was like, how do you say so? And I told him that, okay, just imagine the situation that you are walking on a sidewalk and I'm walking right behind you. And if I call you Ramesh, Mahesh, Suresh, just a bunch of Hindu names, then would you turn back and listen to me? And he was like, no. And I'm like, what if I call you Ram? That's what his name was. What if I call you Ram? Then you'd turn back and you'd listen to me truly, checking out me that who I was, calling out your name. So if you truly want the God to listen to you and your prayers to be answered, if he is willing in his timing, then you need to pray in the name of Jesus. And then he asked me who Jesus was. And then I told him that how he came and died for our sins, that it's a God that stepped into flesh, walked the earth perfectly, and after so many sufferings, died the worst capital death, crucifixion, and showed his power over death by his resurrection on the third day. And the crazy thing, oh, I just remembered what was crazy about this conversation. It was in Hindi. So this place, Jackson Heights, this place has a people who speak multiple languages, who are multilingual, and I myself speak three languages. And so I had this opportunity to share the Gospels and pray for people in all three different languages. And so this talk was going on in Hindi. And he asked me that he truly believes that there's only one God. And I was like, yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. And then I told him about the Holy Spirit and the power and the gift and the activation of the gift of Holy Spirit. And he asked me that, what is the power of Holy Spirit? Now, when all these things were going on, I was praying in the back of my head that, Lord, you need to show off, because I can't do this. You need to show off. You need to show your power to these people. Because this guy is a false prophet. He's claiming false things in your name. And I can't stand it. And so I talked to this guy, and he asked me that, what is Holy Spirit? I was like, come over here, man. And I put my hand over his shoulder, and the Spirit spoke to me that this guy had a brother who has been staying in the States for a longer time, and they haven't talked to each other in a really long time. And so I told him that, man, you have a brother. First of all, you have your nephew in India who just lost a job, and he can't keep up, and he can't pay for his family. Now you have a brother here in the States who is well off, and you guys haven't talked in a long time. And he asked me, how do I know that? And I was like, I don't know that, but the Spirit does. The Lord does, and he looks through you. He knows you more than you do yourself. And he looks at me, and he was like, who are you? And I was like, I'm just here to serve and pray for people. I'm just a vessel that God is using. But he can do these crazy things in his power, because he's powerful, and he's the authority of this power that comes from him. And while this talking was going on, the witch doctor, the actual guy, he shows up and he was like, "Hey, what's going on? Why are you disrupting my business?" And for a moment I was terrified. I was like, "How do I talk to this guy?" But like I told you, I was always praying throughout when this whole thing was going on that God, like, be with me, be with me. And so I started talking to him about the same things with this witch doctor. And apparently he's a devil worshiper. I started talking to him, and he asked me that, you seem to be like an interesting guy. Come down to my worship room. So I was like, okay. So I started following him underground. Like, we climbed down the stairs, and like we were walking around in the circles. And he took me to this really small room, like 6 feet by 6 feet, with red light on the top of it. And in the middle of the room, there was a statue of Mahakali. Mahakali means Satan. Mahakali means the Great Black. That literally translates to the Great Black. And so for a moment I was terrified, and I could feel the heaviness in that room, like some dark spirit. And I closed my eyes for a moment, and I saw a picture of this palace, this kingdom, that had walls around it. And around the walls there were a couple of crazy looking people just trying to break the wall and break in the palace. That's what I actually felt. And I pulled out my walkie-talkie, and I was like, "Jesus, need backup. Your troops are behind the enemy lines." So for a moment I was terrified, but then the Holy Spirit gave me the strength like crazy. And like I told you, that my confidence comes from the Lord. I can't take my next breath without depending on the Lord and His grace. And so I started talking to that guy. His name is Ramanujan. And so I started talking to him, and he asked me that I should pay him $25, and he's gonna make the rest of my life good. That's what he told me, that pay me $25, and you know, I'm gonna make your life good. And I was like, man, my life is the best. Like, this is, I'm having the time of my life. I don't need anything more. I don't ask for anything more. I don't expect anything more. He was like, "Come on, man! I have all the customers. I have Hindu customers. I have Muslim customers. I have Hindu. I have Christian customers." And in the back of my head, I was like, "Man, I'm not that Christian." And so I was like, "Man, my life is at the peak. But let me pray for you." And he was like, "I'm doing good. I don't need your prayers, you know." And The Spirit talked to me about his life, about like he has been through some rejections. I got the name of a city that he's from. And so I told him that you are from this place, right? And he was like, yeah, I grew up in that city. And I was like, okay. And then I told him about his teenage years, and he had been through some stuff. And he told me that, how do I know that? I was like, I don't know that, man, but the Holy Spirit does, because the Lord looks through you, right through. And he knew when he died on the cross. He knew you better than you do yourself. He has plans for your life. It says that the Lord has more thoughts about us than sand in the ocean. And so I told him that, and he freaks out, and he was like, "Man, this is crazy." I was like, "Yeah." And he asked me who I was, and I told him that, "Oh, I'm just another Christian, and I'm here to pray for you, and I'm here to serve you. And today you hit the jackpot, because now you can see the power of Holy Spirit, the power of God." And he starts looking at me like crazy. And then I told him that, "You have some migraine going on in your head, right? Let's pray for the healing of your migraine." And we prayed, and he actually says, "Man, it feels better. It feels better in my head." So God healed him. God healed this false prophet. And then the next moment after we prayed, he has tears in his eyes, and he tells me that he needs to go to church. And I was like, "Man, you do." And then I shared my testimony, that how God healed me, and how I was an atheist, how I was lost, and how God found me. That sermon today, that incident about that how God looks for that one sheep, and he tells the other 99 that, "Don't worry, I'm gonna be right back. I'm gonna go and look for my sheep." But He found me from the other side of the world, and brought me here. I told him that, and we talked for 45 minutes, and he asked me if I had a business card or anything. I'm like, "I don't have a business card, but my friend has a church here." You can have my contact if you want. And my friend has a church here, and so I invited him to a church. And so I got a report that he came to church. He went to the church, that guy. The next day, I ended up talking to another witch doctor in this place. This place has a couple of witch doctors, by the way. They're everywhere. Yeah. And so next day, I ended up talking to another witch doctor, and he told me that he can cast the demonic spirits inside the people, inside people. And he asked me if the Holy Spirit is a true power, then he can cast, then he can cast spirits in me. And so I told him that, go for it, man, try it out. Those spirits, those bad spirits can't enter into me because I got Jesus, man. I got the Holy Spirit. The most powerful thing ever, and I was like, man, go for it, try it out. And he closed his eyes for a moment, and he was like, man, like, he was like, I can cast bad spirits in people only between 6 to 6:15 p.m. and only at a certain place. And I was like, go for it, man, I'm going to be there, what time and what place? But yeah, and then we prayed. But I mean, this place, I had the time of my life at this place. Then one time I was walking on the street. It was like 11 p.m. and I had my headphones in my ears, and I was listening to some worship music. And somebody came behind me and like shook my shoulder, and I was like, "Hey man, what's going on?" And this guy goes like, "Hey, you know what? I got some nice weed." And I was like, "Man, I got some nice Holy Spirit. You want some?" And so he told me, "What are you talking about?" And so I started talking to this guy, and I don't know why, like, out of nowhere, this guy just starts confessing all the things that happened in his life, and I told him that, man, it's not worth it, you know, like, selling weed, like, if you told me that you have your wife and the kids, you know, like, if you're caught, then you'd be sent to prison for at least 10 years, and then who is going to feed your family, man? He was like, yeah, man, you're right, and Lord touches his heart, and we prayed, and he accepts Christ as his Savior. And then I handed him over the three gospel tracts, and he was like, what do I do with these? And I was like, now have you got the Holy Spirit, man. So now we do the same thing to three other people in your drug business, what I did to you, because I didn't do anything to you. It's the Lord that touched your heart. And he got touched. The next crazy encounter I had was with a Buddhist monk. That one day I was just jogging on the trails in the park, and I passed by a Buddhist monk, and the spirit told me to go and pray for the Buddhist monk. And I was like, Lord, that's weird. I haven't done that before. I'm not going to do it. But I was like, might as well. So I make a U-turn. I walk back to him, and I was like, hey, man, what's going on? And he hands me all like a small, like a little statue of something. He hands it to me, and I was looking at the thing. It was more like a doll. And I was like, what's this for? And he was like, this is for peace. And I'm like, it's not for peace, brother. Let me tell you about some real Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And he was like, what are you talking about? And then he looks at my shirt. I was wearing a black shirt that said, Jesus, every tongue shall bow, every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow. And he looks at my shirt, and he reads Jesus, and he was like, I don't want that. And then he turns back and starts walking away from where I was at, and I was like, man, come back. I want to talk to you. I want to pray for you. And so he comes back to me, and he was like, yeah, okay, what are you talking about? He was so reluctant. And then I told him about the Lord and his power. I have power. And we prayed for peace to come in his soul. So I prayed with him, and the next moment after praying with him, he had a big old smile on his face, and he gives me a hug. And I was like, yeah, man, that works. And then I handed him over like a couple of dollars, and I was like, yeah, man. And he tries to like get me a receipt, because he was trying to do some fundraising for his ministry, for his Buddhist temple. Okay. And I was like, no, man, that's not for the Buddhist temple. That's for you. Go and get a pizza for yourself. You know, I bet you hadn't had a pizza in a long time. And then I was like, get a pizza with a meat. Then I had a chance to talk to a couple of homeless people, New York residents. This guy called Tom. His life was touched. He was Tom is like 70 years old, and I would always walk out of my apartment, and I would always see him smoking cigarettes out of my apartment. This guy's 70, and one day the Lord spoke to me that this guy is getting old. And so in the back of my mind, I was like, man, like, this guy's getting old. He needs Jesus. He's going to die soon. Like, he needs to go to heaven. And so I went to him, and I asked the Spirit that, what question exactly do I ask to this guy? Because the Spirit tells me exactly what to talk and how to open up a conversation with someone. And so I went to him and I asked him, hey man, what's going on? You like a cigarette way too much, don't you? And he was like, looks up at me as if he got offended. And so I started talking to him and to God. Cutting a long story short, I had a chance to disciple this guy called Tom, and he accepts Christ. And he told me about a couple of things that happened. Like, he lost some people, he lost his kid, and he had some stronghold, some hurting that needed healing, and the Lord touched his heart too. I'm still in touch with Tom, in contact with Tom, and he's doing fabulous. So that's what a couple of testimonies. I ended up visiting to a couple of churches, and especially this church called Rocks Church in Manhattan. God gave me this opportunity to go to a place and speak at the church and share my testimony. So I ended up sharing my testimony for like 30 minutes in front of the congregation at Rocks Church, Manhattan. I also ran to a street evangelist, and he connected me with a ministry that gives the free gospel tracts to the preachers and street evangelists. So that's what a couple of stories, and that's what my mission trip looked like. But lives were touched, especially mine. Amen. Oh, and if anyone has any questions for me, questions or answers, anything. That's a great question. I think I will go and visit there pretty soon, maybe next year once I graduate. That would be Urdu. No, I don't speak that. I wish, but no. English, Hindi, and Gujarati. Gujarati. In India, we have state language. National language is Hindi. State language is Gujarati. And English is somehow I manage speaking. Yes, sir. We would actually go in pairs, or we would spread out. Somebody every day, somebody different. Sam. Yeah. On my team? Yeah, today, someday. But that's when someone spoke about being truly free from ourselves. And so people were after encouraged. I mean, in the first week, some people were holding back and feeling like, okay, so what if I'm going to get persecuted? But later on, later on they were more passionate and they were more open when you're talking. Okay, thank you so much. God bless y'all.